This is ProBlogger.
Hey there, it's Darren from ProBlogger here. Welcome to episode 184 of the ProBlogger podcast. My name is Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com, which is a blog, a podcast, an event, a job board, a series of ebooks, and numerous other things, all designed to help you as a blogger to start a blog, to create great content that's going to change the world in some way and make your audience's lives better, and to build that audience to the point where you're able to make a profit from your blog. You can learn more about ProBlogger over at ProBlogger.com. Now, in today's lesson, I want to get a little bit personal. I want to talk about some of the things that I've been doing over the last month or so to increase my blog's income, to increase the profitability, particularly of my main blog, Digital Photography School. And in particular, I want to share with you two different strategies that I've been working on with my team there that have worked well. I'm actually going to talk a little bit about three different income streams. One of them is AdSense, the Google's advertising network, although what I share will probably be relevant for other advertising networks too. I want to talk a little bit about affiliate promotions and also selling our own products. So if you monetize your blog in any of those ways, today's episode will be relevant for you. You can find today's show notes over at ProBlogger.com/podcast/184.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
What are you doing on your blog this year that you've never done before? That was a question that I asked in the ProBlogger podcast listeners group on Facebook this week, and the responses that you as a community shared with me were fascinating. Now, the reason I asked that question, what are you doing this year in your blogging that you've never done before, is that I've become more and more convinced lately that many of us as bloggers fall into patterns and habits as bloggers that can limit what we achieve. And one of the things that I strongly believe, and I've always believed this, but I needed to relearn it again recently, is that if we want success with our blogs, we need to be willing to do new things, to experiment. If we want to see increased traffic on our blogs, we need to promote our blogs in new ways. We need to let that evolve. And if we want to build income on our blogs, we need to constantly be trying new things in that area too. Now, you've probably heard the definition of insanity that often gets attributed to Albert Einstein. He was said to have said, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." Now, I've heard that quote attributed to numerous people, but whoever said it, smart person, because there's truth there. If we want to experience new, good things in our lives, we need to be willing to step outside of our comfort zones and live in new ways, to live our life exactly the same way year after year and expect new things to happen to us. There's really not much sense in that. And the same is true for our blogging. Anyone who's been blogging for a while now will know that it's very easy to fall into patterns and rhythms and habits of doing things on our blogs that are just the same year after year after year. It's very easy to almost see what we've built as machines, as something that we need to continually feed. And we've always done it that way, so we'll continue to do it that way. And as a result, even though some of those habits start out for good reasons, we can end up actually seeing our blogs, our businesses plateau or even slump. And you know, to be honest with you, last year, that's what happened to me. I had the realization at the end of last year, as I looked at the stats of my blog in terms of traffic, but also in terms of profit, that perhaps I'd become a little bit complacent. Perhaps I had allowed some of the patterns that I built into my blogging to stagnate a little bit, and I'd become a little bit lazy in my approach to blogging. And particularly, that was the case in how I monetized my main blog, Digital Photography School. Now, since 2009, I've monetized Digital Photography School with three main income streams. Previous to 2009, my income had largely been about AdSense, and that's continued. So that's the number one income stream on the site. Not in terms of size, it's not the largest, but it's been a consistent, good part of the income of Digital Photography School. Another area is affiliate promotions. We tend to promote ebooks and courses and memberships of other people and take an affiliate commission. And the third way that we we monetize DPS is through our own products, initially through ebooks, some courses that we've developed, and also some Lightroom plugins, some software. So we have these three income streams on the blog. Now, I've become a little bit complacent in each of these areas. And whilst I've always believed that we need to constantly be experimenting, and I talk about it on the podcast all the time, in terms of monetization, I hadn't done much experimenting. I hadn't changed things up for quite a while, particularly with the AdSense ads. You know, AdSense, if you've ever done AdSense on your blog, you'll know that you put a bit of code into your sidebar, you might test it a bit in the early days, but then it's pretty much a set and forget type thing, and it's very easy to just allow it to sit there on your site. And it seems almost like passive income, but unless you tweak it, unless you're willing to experiment with new things, you can see diminishing returns on it. So in all of these areas, I've kind of become a little bit complacent. And so last year, at the end of last year, I looked at the stats of how much the site had earned. And whilst it had been a really good year, a profitable year, a year that had paid for our mortgage and enabled us to take holidays and all of that type of thing, and we had a profit, it was a lower profit than the previous years. And there were a number of factors at play, but one of the main reasons that I identified for this small slump in our income was that I'd become complacent. And I realized that it was time to shake things up on Digital Photography School a little bit and to try some new things, particularly with monetization. Now, the year before, I'd shaken things up quite a bit in terms of driving new traffic to the site. So we did some SEO on the site. We'd really shaken things up in terms of getting more email numbers, subscribers, but I'd become a bit complacent on monetization. So there's been a number of things that we've been working on this year on Digital Photography School. And today I want to share with you two of them because I think they kind of cover most scenarios in our listenership. Most of our readers are monetizing through launching their own products or doing affiliate promotions or running ads on their site. And so I want to give you two things that I've done that relate to those.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
The first thing that I want to talk about is the way we've been doing our launches over the last couple of months on Digital Photography School. Since 2009, we've done periodic launches on Digital Photography School, and those launches have largely been about our own products. So every time we create a new ebook, we do a launch. Every time we create a course, we do a launch. But also, when we promote someone else's product, we will do a launch as well. Typically, since 2009, our launches have usually gone for 3 to 5 weeks. Ever since probably about 2010, we've kind of had this pattern of a launch. And the pattern really worked well in the early years. And it's continued to work okay. But the first thing that we've done to shake things up this year is to shorten our launches. Now, we've been doing 3 to 5 weeks for a launch. Typically, our launch in previous years had gone like this. We would send out a big email to our full list on the day the product launched. We would usually do a discount, so 30, 40, 50% discount for early birds. We might sometimes add in a bonus. We might sometimes run a competition as well. And then for the next 3 to 5 weeks, depending on how long we had in our calendar, we would send out one email per week. And then in the last week, we would send out, right at the end of the week, we would send out a last chance email. And that had worked quite well for us, this sort of long extended launch. We weren't emailing every day. We were emailing once a week. And each of the emails had a different flavor to it. So one of our emails would announce the product. We'd do another email that was a testimonial type email once we started to get some feedback from other people who'd bought it. We might do an email that talked more about the benefits of the product. We might do an email that promoted a guest post from the author of the ebook. We might do an email that was a last chance type email towards the end of the campaign as well. So each one of the emails had a different flavor. We would typically do a blog post at the start. We would do a number of social media updates throughout those 5 weeks as well. So it was long, it was spread out. We were trying not to annoy our readers too much with lots of emails too quickly. But one of the things that we've been trying this year is different types of launches, and we've really tried to shorten our launch period. Now, this is for a number of reasons. One, it means that we're able to get a launch from start to finish over and done with much quicker, which is less work for our team. And it doesn't tend to drag on. So one of the things we heard from our readers was, you know, yes, you aren't emailing us too often. It's only once a week, but it's 5 weeks of hearing about the same thing over and over again. So we've decided to shorten our launches for those main reasons and to see how it went. So the first launch we did this year was for a course that we had, a course on night photography. We launched it, I think, on the 31st of January, and it was all over by the 14th or the 15th of February. So it was just over 2 weeks, 2 weeks and 1 day. And in that time, we ended up sending, I think it was 4 emails. So we ended up sending almost as many emails, but we really shortened the space of that. In the first email, we said this price is only going to last for the 2 weeks. So we built that urgency right from the start. And in previous launches, we would build that urgency towards the end of the launch. And it really worked a lot better. So we still did very similar types of social media updates. There were less of them because it was over 2 weeks, but there was a little bit more urgency in them as well. We also built into our launch this year a ticker, a counter, with a countdown for how long the launch had to go, so people could see how long that price was going to last. That was both on the sales page, but also on the rest of the site. We had a bar that would appear at the bottom of the site that was counting down, so anyone arriving on the site would see that something was happening as well. And I think that probably helped quite a bit as well. But definitely making a shorter launch worked well. The other type of launch that we've done since, and we did this a couple of weeks ago now, was an affiliate launch. And this launch went for 5 days. So it was even shorter again. 5-day launch. And it was a bundle of products, photography-based products that we promoted that someone else had put together. Now, I was nervous about it being a 5-day launch, a 5-day campaign, because we typically were going 5 weeks, and then we'd done a 2-week one, and we were like, oh, this is the jackpot. This has worked very well. But how's 5 days going to work? But we had no say in that. The partner that we were working with, that's what they were doing. So we promoted it for a 5-day launch. And there were a number of reasons why that particular promotion did really well. For one, it was a great product. It was $4,000 worth of products for, I think it was less than $100. So it was a big discount. But I think it being a short launch worked really well as well. And we sent out a number of emails over those 5 days. Again, I was nervous about that. Sending so many emails in such a short period of time, was it going to annoy our readers? And I'm sure it did for some of our readers, but we were amazed how few unsubscribes we got from that particular campaign over those 5 days. So again, that one worked really well. So short, sharp launches is a new strategy that we've been trialing. We've so far done a 2-week launch and a 5-day launch. We will probably do some other experiments with different lengths of launches as well. But I will say, so far, the signs are really good. And it's now, as I record this, on the 8th of March, my wedding anniversary, my mum's birthday. Happy anniversary, darling, and happy birthday, mum. But it's been the best start to the year that we've had for many years. In fact, it may be the best start to the year ever we've had in terms of affiliate income and income from our own products as well. So if you haven't been playing around with different types of launches, change things up, see how they go. Try something shorter and sharper and more intense. And if you've been doing short, sharp ones, maybe you want to try something that's longer. I'm not saying that short is the only way. I'm saying experiment with it. The other reason I think it works to change things up is that your audience can become aware of the pattern of your launch as well. And the reason I know that is that occasionally I'll get an email from one of our readers saying, I know you usually add in a prize, or I know you usually, these launches go for a few weeks. Do I have enough time up my sleeve to make this decision? And whilst there's probably some positives of your readers beginning to know what your rhythm is, I actually think there can be a bit of complacency as well. And maybe your audience become a little bit blind to the techniques that you're using. So change things up, see what works, try some new graphics on your screen, try some new social media strategies as well during your launches. You might just find that you unlock something that really works well. One of the things that we've been trying in addition to a shorter launch is sending a very last minute email as well. So we've been sending out an email as the last email in our campaign saying you've got 4 hours left in this campaign. And I was nervous in doing a 4 hours to go type email, because I'm like, well, what if someone gets it 6 hours after we send that email? The launch is already over. But that email in both of these last two campaigns that we've done has generated more sales than any of the other other emails in our campaign as well. So last minute emails can really work very well. And for us, in both times that we've used it, it's been a very short email. It's almost been like a courtesy type email. Didn't want you to miss out on this. There's 4 hours left. Check it out here. And that has worked really well for us as well. So that's the number one strategy. Play with different types of launches. Reinvent your launch sequence. Don't become complacent. You'll learn so much by trying new things.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Number one, reinvent your launch sequence. Number two is about our AdSense. I did an AdSense audit on the site. One of the things I'd realized with AdSense is that I really hadn't played around with new types of positioning for ads for quite a long time. I think we redesigned Digital Photography School about 3 years ago now, and that was the last time that we changed anything with our AdSense account. That's a long time. That is a ridiculously long amount of time. I should have been tweaking and playing with that for quite some time. Now, the reason I hadn't been playing with it is that AdSense isn't our biggest income stream. It's been something I've used since 2004, I think, AdSense, and it's done really well for us over that time. It's just a slow burner, but I really hadn't changed things for about 3 years. And so I decided that we needed to do a bit of a review of that and really dug into our stats, worked out what type of ads were working well for us. It's really clear from our site that 300 times 250 pixel ads are working really well for us. The ads that work best for us are ads that we put inside the content. So we actually put an ad in the middle of an article. They're the ones that work best for us because they're the ones that people are seeing as they're reading the content. Ads over in your sidebar or up in your header, they will work. They're worth having on your site, but the ones in your content work much better. So what I realized is that there were a few things that I could do to really change things up in terms of the ads on our site. Firstly, I decided to look at what was happening in our mobile theme. We've actually got a responsive design of Digital Photography School, and the way we'd set it up is that we had 2 to 3 ads on any page for mobile. So if you're viewing Digital Photography School on your mobile phone, you scroll through one of our typical articles, you might see 2 ads, you might see 3. That was how things were set up. And that was partly because AdSense used to have a limit on how many ads you could show on a page. I think their limit was 3 up until August last year. Now, I'd heard that they'd changed their policy, but I didn't do anything about it. That was a bit crazy. I should have done something about it. So now the new policy is that you can have as many ads as you want on your page, except that they do say that you want to have more content than ads, which is probably pretty wise, not only from their perspective, but also your users. You don't want to overwhelm your users with too many ads. So you can change things up. So one of the things that we have done in terms of our ads for mobile, and this is really what we've been working on so far, is adding more units per page, and particularly adding more units into the content itself. Previously, we had 2 ads in our sidebar, which sort of came in underneath the content on mobile, and we only ever had 1 ad in the content itself for mobile. But a lot of the articles on Digital Photography School are 1,000, 2,000 word articles. And so 1 ad, that really meant we only really had 1 ad in the article itself. So we realized that those longer articles, we could be inserting more ads in. So we've got some rules now on our site and the way we're displaying our ads. We've built it in, coded it into our system, that if the article's over 500 words, we'll add 2 ads in. If the article's over 1,000 words, we'll add 3 ads in. And if the article's a really long ad, like a 3,000 word article, we'll add in 4 ads. So now, depending on the size of the content, you will see different amounts of ads. We've got some rules in there about them not appearing too close to each other, so there's always paragraphs between them. We've got rules in there, I think, on how close they will appear to pictures, because we don't want them right butting up against a picture. We want to space them out. So we've built some rules in on that regard, and that's taken a little bit of coding to do, but it means that we are seeing more ads shown on the site, which will increase the income and has increased the income as well. We've also pushed the ads a little bit higher on the page. One of the things that I'd realized in doing this audit was that we had more ads right at the bottom of the page, because that that's where we were showing our sidebar and not so many at the top. And of course, many people just weren't getting to the bottom of the page and they're scrolling on a mobile, and so they weren't seeing those bottom ads, and so they weren't earning us anything at all. So we've been a little bit more aggressive in terms of where we show the ads on mobile as opposed to desktop as well. So there's more ads, they're higher on the page, particularly showing different types of ads for different lengths of content as well. So how's it gone for us so far? Purely by just changing the ads on our mobile, we've increased our advertising revenue through AdSense by, well, it's 7 days in at the moment, and each day is a little bit different, but it's between 40 to 50% higher every day since we launched it in compared to the last few months of earnings. The next thing that we're going to do is a bit of an audit on our desktop ads as well. And again, we are going to add in an extra ad unit per article, at least one. Some of the longer articles will get two extra ads, and we're going to be a little bit more aggressive with ads inside the content on the desktop as well. And I'm pretty confident that we will be able to increase our revenue from advertising, hopefully another 30 to 40% as well.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is Pro Blogger.
So, don't get complacent. That's the big lesson when it comes to monetizing today. Don't do what you've always done. Now, the reason we'd been positioning our ads like we'd been positioning them was because I'd learned some lessons years ago. Things change. AdSense has changed since years ago. There's new types of ads that you can put on your page. There's new policies constantly being added, so you can tweak your approach. That's the key lesson here. When it comes to your launches, again, tweak and you will see lots of new things as well. Let me give you one little last thing that we're going to be trying in the coming month or so on Digital Photography School. We've decided to add in a new type of promotion on Digital Photography School, and this is a promotion of our own products, our own ebooks and courses. And we've decided to do what we're calling pop-up sales. And these will be sales that appear on the blog itself. We're not going to send an email because we're already sending lots of emails through the year, and we don't want to continually bombard our list with email after email, but we're going to promote these sales of our products throughout the year. So every month for the rest of the year, we're going to nominate one of our ebooks or one of our courses or a bundle of our courses and ebooks together that we're going to do a pop-up sale. And the pop-up sales will last between 24 hours and 48 hours, so they'll be really quick, sharp sales. We'll be promoting them with a blog post. We'll be promoting them with a hello bar with a timer on it, like we did in our recent longer launches. And also, we'll be doing some social media around that as well. And the idea here is to, I guess, bring a bit of attention to one of the many products that we have sitting in our store. We find that typically on every day, we might sell one of a certain ebook. So over a month, we might sell 30 of each of our ebooks, which is great. That's nice little bubbling income that comes along. But I guess the question is, you know, how could we shine a little bit more light on those products to just sit there to increase the long tail income from those as well? So those pop-up sales will test some different percentage off type deals. We'll test some different bundles of products as well. And it's really just to try and increase some of that. So I don't expect that those pop-up sales are going to bring in a massive amount of income like as if we send out several emails, but I'll be very interested to see what we can generate in terms of those just to bring up a little bit of the income from day to day as well. There are a couple of things that we've been trying on Digital Photography School. There's lots more going on behind the scenes as well that I'll continue to report back to you on, but I'd love to hear what you are trying. And answer that question. You might actually want to go join the group, find that question that I asked. What are you doing this year in your blogging that you've not done before? And if the answer is nothing, can I encourage you to come up with something? Because if you want to achieve results that you've never had before, you need to be willing to do things you've never done before on your blog. And this really relates to monetization, but it also relates to driving traffic. It also relates to the content that you're producing as well, the ways that you're engaging with your audience. So what are you doing this year in your blogging that you've never done before? Answer that question over in the Pro Blogger podcast listeners group on Facebook or on today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/184. Thanks for listening. Head over to the show notes where I'll have some further reading for you as well.
You've been listening to Pro Blogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Before I go, I want to give a big shout out and say thank you to Craig Hewitt and the team at Podcast Motor, who've been editing all of our podcasts for some time now. Podcast Motor have a great range of services for podcasters at all levels. They can help you to set up your podcast, but also offer a couple of excellent services to help you to edit your shows and get them up with great show notes. Check them out at podcastmotor.com.